Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart, though, gets the whole week. So he's off once again, but I am not alone this time. No Han Solo this time, no. Decided that, you know, since we got a lot to talk about, it's a lot of things to deal with. I've got you guys at 800-919-3776, at Bart and Han Twitter and Instagram as well. But you know what, like when we need to really get through a lot of different topics, especially on the basketball side of things, but not just that and more, we go to the bullpen and we call for the fireballer who comes in flaming hot with all the takes ready to go. And that is, of course, Ty Butler. Ty, what's happening, bro?
My man, Alan Hahn. Saw you on Get Up this morning looking dapper as usual.
Try.
Feeling good today. Be able to talk to you, especially after what we saw last night, what we have going here locally in baseball. So, I mean, what a day it is, my man. What a day it is.
I mean, it's first of all, anytime Boston loses and loses in epic fashion, you know, I need to know one thing out of the gate. Was there really anybody in New York that's not a Celtics fan? We all know our beloved Peter Rosenberg. I was texting him last night during the game. You know, he loves his Celtics. I get that. I know there's a Celtics bar downtown. I don't know why it exists, but it does, and they're all Celtics fans. They go, they watch games, Red Sox fans. I get that. It happens. Fine. But if you were a Knicks fan or a Nets fan, who were you rooting for last night? Were you rooting to see history? Because do you understand how insufferable it would have been if the Celtics actually pulled off the comeback? Painfully insufferable. Right? And now instead, I don't have to see a damn bloody sock. I don't have to see any more of Big Poppy. I don't have to watch Mariano give up the home. I don't have to see A-Rod and all that. I don't have to even get a reference anymore. No Kevin Mila.
Don't let us win tonight.
Don't let us win because we got Petey. I don't want to have to hear. I didn't want any more references to it. Just let it die. Thank God it just died. I don't have to hear it. I don't have to see it. It ended, and I couldn't have been happier. And I got it. There has to be people in New York that were all feeling the same way. Like, oh, my God, don't let them make this comeback.
Which, by the way, we almost got, you know, because Jason Tatum on the first possession of the game got a twisted ankle. I was waiting for his bloody sock appearance.
Oh, my Lord.
But
right?
It's funny you mentioned that because before this series started, I put a poll on Twitter, Ty D. Butler, by the way. If you're a Knicks fan, which team you're rooting for? Because you just lost to the Heat and you felt like you were in that series, you could have won. But then you've got the Celtics, who you can't stand. So it was just an unenviable position to be in. And I'm at the entirety of the series, I'm thinking of Alan Hahn on his sofa watching these two teams play, who he really has no love for, basket after basket, living after every play. And I'm just like, man, I don't want to be in that situation ever.
It's a terrible place to be because innately, like, you are born into really hating both teams. Like, I could care less about either team having any type of success and all that stuff. Like, I admire players. I admire coaches. You admire individuals. When you cover the sport as long as I have, you tend to, like, you have to lose those things. Like, the stupid stuff I had as a kid, as a fan, where you just literally hate teams and hate their players and hate this and hate. Like, you get over that when you cover the league. You get to know people. And then you start, like, feeling good for individuals. Like, I just Eric Spoelstra. How do you not feel good about him? This is not a popular opinion among Knicks fans. I love Pat Riley.
Mm.
I love him. He was good to me.
Disgraceful.
And I love him. I understand, right, how that all ended. but I watch what he's built and I say, and Bart always brings this, that could have been us, right? That's always that feeling of, look what he built in Miami, and that could have been us. So you have that feeling. But, and then, of course, you know, you get also, you get a little, like, you watch other players. Hayward Highsmith played Division II basketball. My man comes into a Game 7 in Boston in the first half. He only played 9 minutes.
Big steal, though.
But, I mean, he had an impactful 9 minutes. But, like, so I'm a Division II player, right? Way back in the day. Barely, by the way.
Like 50 still, years ago we're going back?
About 50, yeah. Short shorts era. I think I wore Chuck Taylors. Mm. But like, that just makes you feel good. Those are the kind of stories that you get into. But am I just being petty if I start doing stuff like this? Do you know the last time Boston lost to the same market? So you think about it. The Bruins were eliminated by the Florida Panthers, who are essentially a South Florida team, right? The Bruins were supposed to be the be-all, end-all. They were the record-setting team that's going to win a Stanley Cup, going to run away with the league. How can anyone beat this team, right? Out in the first round, lost Game 7.
At home.
At home, yeah. In Boston. How does that feel? But then Miami, also South Florida, goes in a Game 7 in Boston and eliminates the Celtics. Do you know the last time that two teams from the same market beat the winter teams in the same building to end their seasons?
When was it?
April of 1973. How old were you, Ty?
I was negative 20 years old. Wasn't even a thought yet. In fact, my mom wasn't even born yet. How about that?
How about that? Negative 20. Well, do you know the market that did this? By the way, it also happened to the Celtics. The Celtics, the Bruins and the Celtics were eliminated by this same market. Also, in the original Boston Garden, April 1973. Who do you think it was? Who knocked out the Celtics and the Bruins in 73? And they were both from the same market, much like the Panthers and the Heat.
It's 1973 Celtics.
73, yes.
I think you stumped me there.
I'll help you out. Who won the NBA title in 73?
In 73?
Yeah, because that's you had to knock them out in the
So I got to work backwards here. The Warriors.
You don't know
who 75.
won. Wait. You work in New York. Well, and the you Knicks don't know who won the 1973
The Knicks won in 73.
Right.
The Knicks beat the Lakers in 73. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was the Rangers and the Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful because, so here's the thing. If you are a Celtics fan, just imagine how you felt after Game 6 Saturday night. Because you were, 3 seconds away from getting bounced?
Three seconds
away. Marcus Smart misses the shot. Yeah. And then it was like a thing of beauty. Derek White comes in to save the day. That ball could have bounced anywhere. Caroms right to him.
Literally serendipity.
And if you're listening to the broadcast, initially you thought it didn't count because Stan Van Gundy is saying, I don't even think it counted. I don't think it counted.
Yeah.
Then upon watching the replay, he clearly got the ball out in time. So you were, sitting on your high horse thinking this is 0-4 all over again with Yankees Red Sox because obviously there is no chance Miami is going to respond after losing that way and then going on the road in a Game 7 and beating the more talented team, a team that was by many picked to win the finals. And you go out there and get a performance like you did last night where you get spanked by 20 in your house.
Embarrassing.
Oh, my God. That's pathetic. I love Bill Simmons. Love his podcast. I think he's a great sports mind. I mean, there's a picture of him going around. I don't know if it was actually from yesterday.
It was TNT. TNT caught him, and he just looked miserable.
Miserable.
I understand it, and it's somewhat relatable at times. I mean, I can't imagine what I looked like after Game 7 in 1994. I can't tell you what I must have looked like when Patrick Ewing in 95 missed that layup. Like, I can't imagine what I looked like because it was too depressing to think about. So that's where he was at that point. But listen, as much as I want to revel in this, but to your point, while the rest of us thought momentum had changed and that serendipitous play, that the ball lands right, Derek White, give him credit, he went to the rim, he went to the basket, he didn't stand and watch, the shot went up and he went to go get a rebound just in case, right? That's what you're taught to do. You play. You don't sit and watch. You make a move. You do something. So he does, and it just falls into his hands, and he has the putback that should have been all part of the lore, right? It should have been the story of.
Yeah, up there with, you know, Larry Bird's steal against the Pistons.
Have the check steal.
Yeah.
It should have been all of that. But Ty, it wasn't. And here's the thing that really caught me. I was saying this on Get Up this morning. After this game, when the whole world is, oh, my God, how does Miami come back from this? No way they get off the mat. This is like this. The whole momentum has changed. Boston's going home for a game seven. Oh, they're winning this year. It's oh, the series is over. Like I had a friend of mine, big Celtic fan. He's big CEO, big time CEO, and he's texting me. He's freaking out. I go, yo, series is over, dude. It's over. You guys won it. It's locked up. Mm. He's so mad at me now for jinxing it. But anyways,
well,
but after the game. While everyone is feeling the way we were feeling Saturday night, that it's locked up now. There's too much momentum. They figured it out. They're going to win. They're going to the finals. After the game, the one guy that like dropped the hint of, I don't know, still could go the other way, was Jaylen Brown. He said, none of it matters if we go home and lay an egg in game seven. And then that happened. Now, why do you think, like I said, why would Jaylen Brown in that moment even say that? Why would it even enter his mind that, well, if we go home and lay an egg, none of it matters. You just won three in a row. You won a dramatic one. You draw out of the jaws of defeat. You had victory. And your thought at the podium was, none of this matters if we lay an egg. Why would he say that, Ty?
Well, because we've seen that this team is bipolar.
Because he knows that they're up to the challenge of blowing
yes.
it.
Yes. It was
that
not
this
fait accompli. Look, he I don't give him as much. I don't criticize him as much for saying that. I get it. Like as an athlete,
No. It's not criticism. It's the fact that while the rest of us were thinking conventional thinking of,
yeah, it's
momentum
over.
Has switched. This thing's over. He's the one guy that was like, "Hey, by the way, you guys do know us, right? We're that team that we always make it difficult."
Well, because typically when you see a team, let's go back to 2013, right? Like when after Ray Allen hit that shot,
yes,
sent it to overtime, Miami wins.
Yes.
We knew the
Ray
Spurs.
Allen playing for the Heat against the Spurs in the finals 2013.
Yes,
right.
Spurs were drawing dead. And that's a Spurs team, by the way, with the greatest coach of all time in Greg Popovich.
Who's been there, done that.
And in yes. four future Hall of Famers, yeah. four Hall of Famers with Parker, Ginobili, Manu, and Duncan. We said they were drawing dead, but just because emotion. It's hard to come back from quite literally being as close to winning a championship as possible to that being taken away, and now you've got to play another game. So we thought that the same thing would happen, or some of us thought the same thing would happen with Miami. You were 3 seconds away from getting to the finals as an eighth seed.
Crazy.
And to lose on a buzzer beater and now have to fly back to Boston and play another game. And now we're learning, I guess, TD Garden is not much of a home court advantage. Celtics probably might have wished that game was in Miami last night.
It was amazing to see. And now, of course, up in Boston, they have this. So now they're going through. You remember now from the Patriots winning in 2001. And then 2004, you get the Red Sox come back, and they end the curse of the Bambino, right? And then the Bruins win the Stanley Cup. I think it was the Celtics win the championship in 08.
In 2008, yep.
And the Bruins, I think, won the Cup in 11, and that ended a long drought as well. And then, of course, the Patriots and all that stuff. So they were going through an incredible run where a city that just couldn't win a championship finally started, and they were all winning them. And it was, again, it was just Boston suddenly became that it city, a great sports town. It always is. But now they're winning. And they're going through a drought now. So it's 4 years and 115 days.
Oh, God, that's
since
a drought.
Their last title.
Come on.
Remember the Patriots winning Super Bowl 53. 4 years and 115 days, everybody. Here in New York, we're like, really?
Yes, sign
that's
me up
it?
For that drought.
So it's the third longest, fourth longest drought and the longest since they went 15 years from when Larry Bird last won his championship in 86 to that, again, that first Super Bowl of the Patriots that we just referenced. So, yeah, think about that for a minute. The fourth longest, which is what's going on right now. And we're sitting here going, here in New York, it's been, are we on 12 years, right? Right? We're at 12 years.
2011, 2012 with the Giants.
So, all right, 11 years, technically 11 years.
Man.
And we can't get, like, not one out of four teams. Or, well, I'm sorry, not four teams. They have, that's what I should say. They have four teams, right? They have one team for each sport. We have two of everything. And we're waiting 12 years. Like, just think about the comparison we're talking about. So while they're up there, like, you know, you can only imagine what the talk radio
is today in Boston.
Oh, my God. But still, like, it's only been 4 years.
Which is why, Alan, we can have all the fun we want about watching the Boston Celtics come back only to get deflated in Game 7 at home. Yeah. We can do that and play that game if we want to and make fun of their fans and Bill Simmons and all that. 2019 versus 2011, that's an 8-year difference. So we're not. It's not like we're out here winning championships left and right. They still have a recent history, a more decorated resume than we do as sports fans. So I guess in the moment we can have fun, but in the end, what does it all mean?
What does it mean? It means that we don't have to deal with that, at least. And now I'll throw this out. Now, again, I want to hear from people, because if you were rooting for the Celtics last night for whatever godly reason, I need to know. Because there shouldn't have been anybody in New York that is not a Celtics fan. And I know there are here, so that's fine. If you're a Celtics fan, different story. Because I had people saying to me, because I, first of all, the only reason why, and this is what makes it so uncomfortable, is I'm not saying rooting. What I'm saying is that I was pulling for the Heat for my own purposes. I was on First Take on Friday, and Stephen A., you know, like we were talking about it, and I just said to him, like, look, you know how it gets. We root for ourselves right now at this point of our lives. We root for the story. We root for ourselves. And what I didn't want to do, because Mike Greenberg kept trying to make me do this, is Greeny was all about this is it's going to be one in 150. This will be the first team to do it in 151 tries to come back. He believed in it. He leaned into it. He sold it every single day. And after they won in game four, I was like, all right, whatever. Game five, I'm like, oh, here we go. And then Friday, he's trying to tell me, Saturday night, you're going to see it. They're going to be a game seven. And I said, listen, the last thing I want to do is come back here on Tuesday and say Mike Greenberg was right. And after Saturday night, now I'm like miserable. So yes, I was pulling.
Just say it, rooting.
I was not rooting. I was pulling for the Heat in Game Seven.
You were rooting for the Heat
for personal gain. I was rooting for me at that point.
Alan Hahn was rooting for the team that just knocked his team out of the playoffs. Let's
for myself.
Call it what it is.
Well, I had to because that's what I picked.
Call it what it is.
So I had that interest, but I had people that were coming at me, like, because the video went up from First Take of me saying that. And people are like, I can't believe you said that. You should delete that. How could you say that? And I'm like, well, it's one or the other. And the last thing I want to do is see the Celtics come back and win this thing. A, because, of course, it would be all this 2004 Yankees Red Sox stuff. I didn't want to see any of that because that would have been – think about it. We've got a couple of days now before game one. How many videos of the stupid bloody sock and all the other
– Johnny Damon's grand slam and Big Poppy's home run. Mariano blowing saves.
See what I mean? Like you just don't – I didn't want to have to relive any of it.
And the parallel is so insane, right? Because game three, Miami blew Boston out in this series.
Oh, no,
Yankees won game three. I believe it was like 19-8.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was there were so many parallels. That
it was all
kind of
there.
Freaky. So again, that's what I was rooting for. But I was thinking to myself, why I'm getting these fans are getting mad about it. I'm like, hang on a second, who are you pulling for? So that's what I want to know. If you had a reason to root for the Celtics, I need to know what that reason was. 800-919-3776. To begin this, we begin with Ashwin in Wilton because Ashwin has his reasons why. Go ahead, Ashwin.
Alan, I completely disagree with you. I hate the Celtics right down to their damn green-blue jerseys. Paul Pierce, KZ, not Ray Allen, because he got game. I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet.
Okay.
But I hate Miami more. I was watching when, you know, Van Gundy was on Morning's Leg. All right?
Yeah.
Either way, they're going to...
But then 99 happened. And then 2000 happened. Yeah, like, it was... like.
No, dude. But I want that stain on their record. That Van Gundy was like... That was the good day.
So
that
you,
was
wanted, you wanted the Heat to have to wear forever the first team to blow a 3-0 lead in a best-of-seven playoff series. You wanted them to have that on their record. That's what it is. You wanted them
absolutely
to have to hang that banner.
Yes.
Like, here's the thing. Thank you for the call, Ashwin. See, Ty, what Ashwin wanted was if this happened, the NBA would force the Heat to put a banner up in that arena.
And you know what we also would do? Eliminate that ridiculous Heat culture hashtag on social media.
Hey, listen.
You can't be Heat culture the first team to blow a 3-0 lead in the NBA playoffs.
It's a real thing. Scott Manhattan. Scott, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling terrible right now, and I'm disappointed in you, Don, because you said I know Boston, whatever with the baseball thing, but listen, Miami beat the Knicks, and anybody that beat the Knicks, I'm not rooting for them. So listen, I mean, so that's definitely why I didn't want to see them win, even though it was embarrassing, no leadership at all. But listen, I tell you, these Miami guys, they must have a rabbit's foot in their jerseys or something. Because, come on, Martin, Vincent, you see the percentage these guys shot for the year, and now they're hitting baskets like this? I mean, something is going on. But listen, kudos to them because Jimmy Buckets is doing his thing. But these guys, they're like destiny, man, because that was like a rocky comeback last night after getting punched in the gut, losing that game six and come back like that. So hats off to them.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the question. Thanks, Scott. Like, Ty, I don't know if it said more about Boston or said more about Miami. That's a hard question.
That's a good question.
Because Tatum gets hurt. Brown is just an absolute disaster. And really, they can't make a three, which is what it just shows you. That's it. Like, they have, like, the Celtics are a really good team that has one superpower. And if you take away that superpower, they're ordinary. They're mortal.
I think
that's a 3-point shot.
But think about it. When we look at the Celtics run in its totality, and I heard you on Greeny's radio show driving into the station today, and I think you nailed it. You watch what happened after game three in the first round against the Hawks. They were a completely different team. They went down 3-2 to the Sixers and needed one of the greatest Game 7 performances we've ever seen from Jason Tatum dropping 51 to beat a flawed Sixer team. And then they went down 3-0 to Miami. So all postseason long, they've been trying to tell us this is who they are.
Yeah.
We just refuse to believe them just because they did have that extra gear they could get to because of their talent.
That's a great point.
I mean, once you get to a Game 7 and you're a Jason Tatum rolled ankle away from, you know, having a bad performance, that's what happens.
Dangerous. That's the thing. And they all, I hear athletes use this phrase all the time, play with your food. That's what this Celtic team did all year. It's all they did, just play with their food. That's why I referenced that Jaylen Brown comment after game six. I was watching the post-game game six on Saturday night. And I see him at the podium, and he says that. And there's nobody around me. I'm sitting by myself on the couch. I'm like, why would he say that? Like, what? Like, I know I've interviewed countless professional athletes in my career, over 20 years of covering professional sports. I have never remembered an athlete making a negative reference after such a euphoric win like that. Normally, these guys feel invincible. Like, if you even bring it up to them, if you said to them, like, are you concerned now that you'd have a letdown? And they look at you like you were like, what are you talking about? We ain't losing. Like, only losers think of losing.
Well,
like,
we saw that on the other side with Jimmy, right? Even after losses,
you know,
he's
what?
Like,
Jimmy, you're right.
We're
going to
win.
Like,
we're going to win the next game.
We'll be fine.
Spoelstra. Yeah, after game six.
And
probably
there you go.
The most heartbreaking loss of his illustrious career.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, to be in this position where we got a game seven with a chance to get to the finals, no, we'll sign up for it every time.
It's crazy. So the fact that he said it, almost like telling on himself, like he revealed what they really think, which is... You know, we can blow it. No, don't worry. We can. Like, don't doubt us. We can definitely blow this thing. And it certainly just did happen. All right, 800-919-3776. So we got the call stacked, racked, and ready to go. A lot of people want to sound off on this. And like I said, there is an angle to this that is relatable here in New York, because Philly just hired a coach. What are the Celtics doing now? Like, that, now that their season's over, let me tell you something. This season's over for them, but the work is only beginning. Because what happens to them now? And if they start if they make one or two false moves, now all of a sudden things in the East are starting to change. It sets up for a very interesting offseason in the NBA, but especially here in New York. If you're the Knicks, as I said, if you're the Knicks, you are paying close attention to what happens next in Boston, but also in Philadelphia as well.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What was an epic Game 7 last night in Boston that ended up being an epic blowout loss for the Celtics. So Boston is a mess once again after just this whole playoffs. They've been a mess. They've been great. Mood swings. Like, it just, like, there's nights they just look so good, and then there's other nights you're like, are you guys kidding me? Like, is there any leadership there whatsoever? So a lot of questions that they have to answer, one of them being, of course, are you really giving Jaylen Brown $295 million extension, knowing that you got $300 million to give to Jason Tatum in the following summer? So you're talking about two guys that are going to make $60 million a year. Are you? I mean, there's two guys that have had great success. They've done a lot of winning together. But is this really what they're going to do? Meantime, more breaking news in the NBA. Adrian Wojnarowski just put this out. So Bob Myers, who has been a two-time executive of the year, he was an agent turned GM who has done a wonderful job in Golden State of getting that and really being the architect of that dynasty. He is stepping down, he told Woj. And he said, quote, it's just time. He's supposed to have a press conference at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Out in the Bay Area, but the news already out that he will be stepping down. He becomes, you talk about free agents, Ty, he becomes a valuable free agent.
Oh, absolutely. With, you know, what he did with that dynasty. And then for the Warriors, that's a lot of question marks, right?
Yep.
Like, what do you do with Draymond Green, Klay Thompson? You know, because Steph Curry, like,
Draymond Green especially.
Yeah, what Steph's not going to stand for, he just had one of the greatest, like, 35-year-old seasons we've ever seen. He's not going to stand for let's rebuild and you know, see what we can do with young players.
Right.
He's still in the business of trying to win championships. So it'll be interesting to see like what they do there, because they've got some big decisions to make on key guys. That Jordan Poole contract was a disaster.
Bad idea.
And,
bad idea. And remember, they are, because of, again, the way the CBA is set up, and this is what Boston has to watch out for if you do this contract with Jaylen Brown, is The NBA has made it, there's no hard cap, but there might as well be, because they have made it so difficult for a team to just stay, to keep its core together, but of course having to pay them market value to keep them. Because now they're like $300 million over tax. Like they are paying an insane amount of money in luxury tax just to keep the core of that dynasty together. And the owners have reached a point out there where they're like, yo, enough's enough. Like, we cannot keep doing this, because it is. It's a huge check to write. So when he go, like, there's big decisions there. Boston has to think about their future. At least in Golden State, they won titles.
Yeah.
Like, I'll pay a tax on four championships any day, but I'm not going to pay it on also-rans and honorable mentions and got to the finals once. Like, that's not really what you want to do that with. So Boston is going to be interesting. So, again, if you're the Knicks, you pay attention to that. But here's a question for you. If you're the Brooklyn Nets, Bob Myers available, is Sean Marks your guy?
No, you're not married to him. You can't be after what just took place over the last 4 years.
I've always said that there's no cap on infrastructure, right? There's no cap on leadership. I want to bring in somebody that has already proven to win. How do you not, as like any franchise in the NBA, you just turn around and go, give that guy, like, do what Miami did with Pat Riley.
But you know what I'm curious?
And say, show us the way.
You know what I'm curious about, Alan? Why did he step down from Golden State? Is it he's just done? Like, he's done in that role? Or is the writing on the wall, we've won our last championship there? Yeah. I want to go somewhere else where I can have more success.
Yeah, I think it's that. It's the limitations now on because of the spending. Like, it's very difficult to do some of the things now that you want to do. And really, where are they? It's going to be an aging core that is going to have difficult decisions to make, and no one's going to take a pay cut. So it's for you to rework it. It's sort of like, yeah, we're probably getting close to a blow this thing up kind of moment. And I don't want to be around for
you can't
like
do
RC
that.
Buford and Greg Popovich, they're living through it in San Antonio. Like, they're living through it, but they're fine with it. Now they got Wembanyama. But I think Bob Myers also sees there the owners and everything else that, you know what, this is, you know, there's a new challenge out there for me, and how am I going to do it? Now, for Myers, he's got to make a decision on if he is going to another franchise. You got to go to a place. The one thing that Golden State did, those new owners came in, and they were willing to spend. They were all about it. They got the arena. That was huge for them, but they were willing to spend. So you can't go to, like, Chicago and think you're going to run the Bulls the same way, because you know that's not how they do it there. They're notoriously cheap in Chicago. So where does he go where he can get the first thing he wants, which is full autonomy? I'm an owner, but you just take over. You run this thing. I told you, if I'm Bob Myers, I want what Pat Riley got when he went to Miami. That's what I want. And I think he can get it because he's got the track record of success. The question is, where does he go? Who's going to give it to him?
I mean, Brooklyn, when you say that,
why
that
wouldn't you? If you're Joe
Tsai,
why wouldn't you say that to yourself? Let me get a guy in here that can build a champion and won't do it the way we've been doing, which is throwing money at problems, trying to figure it out. Sean Marks has made some mistakes, let's be honest. Now, he's made some mistakes based on things that he was forced into, which is, you know, I don't want to absolve
him
completely.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to say that this was all his decision. Like, KD wanted Harden, they went out and got Harden. And then Harden didn't want to be there, so we had to find a good deal. Harden wanted to be in Philly, so what's our good deal? Well, the worst trade of all was Ben Simmons. Terrible trade. But trading KD did bring back at least Mikal Bridges, but did it bring back enough? It was Kevin Durant. So there's a lot of questions about that. And if you're trying to reset, and I don't think Joe Tsai is shy about spending money, I mean, that might be the way to go.
And if you're the Nets, you're looking at an Eastern Conference that could be wide open, right?
With
everything
also
happening with Boston and Philly, you know, Milwaukee's still going to be there, though. They just hired a new coach.
They just don't have any players in place. You'd have to really start from zero. They don't have any players in place that you could say foundation of a championship roster.
No, of course not.
Right? What you have is, see, Mikal Bridges is the best player on that roster, and he is at best a top level supporting cast guy with a team that already has a star.
Yeah, or maybe two stars.
You know what I mean? Like that's what he's a terrific player, but he's not an alpha. Our 1A guy.
No, he's not going to be the best player on a championship team, and probably not even the second best player on a championship team.
Now, I'll throw this one out. If you're James Dolan, do you look at him and think, this guy will take us the next step? Because that was a rumor Last year,
I remember it was a rumor last year.
And that was, again, when they didn't make the playoffs last year. They redeemed themselves this year. So I can't see – I don't foresee this idea that now all of a sudden you just blow out Leon Rose and start over again in the midst of what they got going on here. But do you at least think about it?
I mean, when someone with that resume is a free agent – is on the market and might express interest in coming here, and especially doing it in this city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the stars he's had and the egos he's had to manage.
Never forget the night Kevin Durant blew out his Achilles.
Yeah.
He was right there front and center. He was trying to handle everything as best he could. He went all the way. Like, he got into the mud that day. He didn't stay away. He didn't hover. In the mud, trying to help Kevin Durant get out of the building, get to the hospital, like everything as fast as he could. Arranged it all. He got his hands dirty that night and had to get it. He got an earful, by the way, an earful from KD during that whole moment. I'll never forget that. So, you know, like he's a hands-on guy. Just very interesting name out there. Just saying. Interesting name. 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's grab some more calls here, shall we? As we're just talking about again, I was rooting for me, so I was pulling for Miami. I did not want to see any more Boston references, any more of the 2004 coming back on the Yankees, a stupid bloody sock. I didn't want to hear any of that garbage. So I was pulling for the Heat. And people were like, couldn't believe I was pulling for the Heat. And it's like, wait a second. So you were rooting for the Celtics to win this game? Couldn't believe people in New York were doing this. Dave in East Meadow. Dave.
Hey, Alan. Great show. How are you?
How you doing?
Want to give a shout out to Bart. We miss you, but getting back to what you said, totally, totally on board rooting for Miami. I mean, how can you not respect Miami? They played us tooth and nail. We played them really hard.
Yeah,
you're talking about a bunch of scrappers. Jimmy Butler, probably my favorite non-Knick player. I mean, how can you not respect those guys? So you tip your hat to them, and we got to all root as Knick fans for the destruction of all these teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Toronto, Nurse is gone, Van Vliet, right. Poeltl, Trent, all free agents, right? Yep. Philadelphia, Harden's a free agent. I think
Nick Nurse
gonna have
now
to
their
pay
head
Mac.
Coach. How will that work? Will yep. Harden leave? Embiid, how will he handle having Nick Nurse as his coach? I mean, there's, you know, like a lot of stuff to watch there, too.
Right. As a Knick fan, we got to root for all these teams in the Atlantic to be dismantled slowly but surely or fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brooklyn, we're hoping that they crumble. I'm loving the whole KD experiment going to pieces. So, honestly, I think Jalen Brunson, and I told you this a few weeks ago, he may be the biggest draw in the division right now. And with what we've done, who wouldn't want to play at the Mecca?
I don't know. I don't know about the biggest draw. Embiid's coming off an MVP, and I know he was very disappointing in the playoffs. But he's still one of the best players in basketball. Just
is
one of the league MVP.
Is he ever in elite shape? Is he a warrior? Is he a guy that, like, you know, I'm going to war with this guy, and this guy's always going to drag me through? Or is he a guy you start questioning? Because when we get to April and May, he always seems to come up with an injury, and he comes up short.
Well, maybe we've learned he can't be, like, in crunch time, your go-to guy. Like Jokic, like Giannis, like Durant.
Sorry, he's an MVP.
He's an MVP. And maybe
I can't go to him and crunch.
Well, we saw what happened in Game 6 and in the Game 7 disaster. Like that's going to fall on him. But I still think that despite all of his shortcomings, he is still a draw. Like, you can't be a league MVP and say that he's not the most attractive piece as far as, like, the division is concerned. Right up there with Tatum.
Listen,
and Brunson was great. I'm taking nothing away from Brunson.
Every season, you make a list and you say what teams are better than you, right? When you look at the teams above you on that list, name me the ones that are stable right now.
Milwaukee.
They fired their coach.
Yeah, but
now they have to make a decision on Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. Do they want to pay them and go forward with them as older players, or they have to figure out the roster? And if they don't get signed, does Giannis now say, you know what, I don't know if I like the direction we're going?
So you just say they fire their coach as if they weren't going to do that in 2021 before they won a championship.
You're right, but then they won a championship. I'm just talking about right now. Right now. The teams above you, all of them. There's not a single team that you could say are stable. Not one. That's it. And Miami wasn't above you. Now, they are now because of where they are. But I'm just saying, when you look at who is above you, there's a lot of instability. And if you're the Knicks, you're watching this carefully. Because, oh, by the way, don't you sit still. Because this is the time to strike and see if you can jump over some of these pieces on the chessboard.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart's got off this week, so you have Ty Butler in with me. No, not Han Solo. I did Han Solo last week, and I got to admit, Ty, like, I'm really enjoying being part of this cycle now. We're in the playoffs. It's basketball. A lot of basketball on Get Up. So I'm in that cycle. You're on it every day, and it's been great, but it's, you know, I mean, it's a lot.
Can I ask you something?
You get up early. It's a lot of study, and then you got to get into this. You got to pay attention. It's just, you know.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So Dave, our last caller, who I disagreed with about his Jalen Brunson take, starts the phone call with, "Hey, really miss you, Bart."
Oh yeah.
How should I, sitting in Bart's chair,
shot at you?
Yeah, it comes across as a little bit of a shot. I'm not sensitive.
Like,
I'll take it.
No, I can tell you didn't.
But
like,
I just want to get to the root of it all. Is that a shot, or was he just saying it like in passing that he just genuinely misses Bart?
I think it's more of missing Bart and what he brings to a show. You know what I mean? Which is his personality is it's electric.
Okay.
Because, you know, like, Bart is see, what we just did here in this first hour was easy for me because we just hit the topics, get through everything, right? Bart is he's the guy in the back of the pickup while we're driving who just has grenades.
He's firing them off.
Randomly just like will pull the pin and throw it into the, you know, into the driver's seat, and I'm having to grab the grenade and throw it out and stay on the road while throwing the grenades out so we don't blow up.
Well, here's what we'll do then. Just so I can make everyone feel comfortable, you can be at home. We've got a break that we're gonna hit here soon. I'll be late coming back, so you can feel like Bart is here.
It's not even about that.
You can feel like he's here.
The countdown clock to me is adorable.
You love it?
I try to let Bart Ops know this. The countdown clocks are adorable to me. They're very cute. There's no hard out in local radio. None. So, like, to have a countdown clock as if I'm on someone else's time is that's the part where I kind of laugh at. That's the stuff like behind the scenes that people don't see. Is like it really makes me laugh when we get the countdown clock, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do when that hits zero?
You're supposed to stop talking.
Do we blow up if that hits zero?
You get you get dinged.
Like, where are we going? Where are we going at zero? That we have to hit the hard out. It's not happening. So I am purposely going past the zeros out of spite.
That's not nice.
No, it's out of spite. It's what we do. But again, don't take it personal when a caller says that. It is just that Bart is special. He brings that special to the show where he'll randomly just make observations off topic. Completely off topic. And he will draw me off topic, which I enjoy doing, because then I try to find out, all right, what's in his mind and how can we get there and will it be funny?
Like Martha Stewart and bikinis. I was listening to that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, all I had to do was show him the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition with Martha Stewart on it.
I'll be honest, I wasn't all that impressed.
What is she, 74 years old?
Yeah, but I felt like how you guys were talking. I'm driving, listening to this. So I said, I can't wait to get to a red light so I can check out the cover of this magazine. And it was all like, okay, could have done without it.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't what I was sold.
I don't get it.
It just made me feel like...
What were you sold?
I was sold on...
I sold you a 74-year-old woman in a bathing suit. What did you have built up in your mind?
I was sold on, end of day, we could have a broken wrist situation. Really feel all that enticed.
No, you weren't that motivated.
No.
All right, it's not for everybody. Now, when I told the world about Janelle Monáe's new video.
Oh, man, that's something.
Now, did you have... Was your wrist in a sling after that?
That's something.
That's a little different, right?
That's be right back. I got to go take care of something. You hold it down.
That is you. That is you basically making sure you hydrate.
Yeah. Gotta go to the bathroom. drop a deuce. This might take a while. Stomach's not feeling good.
No, I'm not good.
So don't expect me for a while.
Right. Why are you bringing your iPad in? When do you ever bring your iPad into the bathroom?
Doing some notes for the show. I'm hosting with Alan Hahn next week.
Oh, now we're getting buzzards. We're getting buzzers. No, it's, see, that we don't go there with the buzzers. We go here.
Phrasing.
Right. And then as Ty pushes it.
Phrasing.
Right, and then we just keep.
Hey, phrasing!
Until we finally just get fed up.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore?
No, it is not. Not on this show. All right, so in the meantime, let's get some calls. 800-919-3776. Let's get Manny in Flushing, because I love this debate. Manny!
Yes.
What's up?
Yes, before I will talk to you, Alan, listen, Tyler, I got to respectfully disagree with you about the Warriors. I don't think they had a dynasty, even though they won three titles in the 2010s and won last year.
Four.
I just don't think they were a dynasty, because I believe a dynasty should be four titles in a decade. The Warriors won three.
Well, they did.
They won four in 7 years.
Yeah, that's four.
But they didn't win, like, in a decade, like 2010s. They won three, and they just won one.
It cuts off. No, I get it. So when it hits 2020, that's it. You're up. Your time is up. Now, if you win after 2020, that's a totally different era.
Restarts.
So even though it's the same players. Now, listen, Manny, I will say this, and I will take this to my grave. A dynasty, technically, is consecutive championships.
Which they did.
In a row.
They did.
That's a true. No. A true dynasty doesn't happen until you have three straight.
Mm.
Four is like, that's now epic, which we'll never see again, by the way. We'll never see four straight championships by a major of the four major sports. It's never going to happen again. But
yeah,
I last, will go yeah, technically, last. A dynasty is three consecutive. So the last dynasty that we had, I believe, were your Lakers, Ty Butler.
2000.
Right? That's the last true dynasty in sports. The Yankees, obviously. The Lakers. And then that's it. So while Manny wanted to create like these lines of demarcation on a calendar where you didn't win those four in this decade, I'm not going for that.
That is a big deal. Well, he lost me when he started the phone call by calling me Tyler.
Yes, but, Tyler, I was wondering how that was.
He's like, where are we going with
Tyler,
that?
Tyler, that's just... Tyler, well, he's got Ty and Butler. He just put it together.
Listen, three championships in 4 years, that's a dynasty.
No.
And then you lost the fourth championship was lost in a game seven.
Yeah, but you lost, though, so it's a loss.
So we're going to look back at the Warriors and say that wasn't a dynasty?
I mean, it is in modern-day salary cap era sports. Like, it's new generation thinking, yes. But if you asked where dynasty came from, right, which is ancient China, where you had families who just dominated, the dynasties. If you told them, well, this family, they ruled for like 3 years, and then, you know, they kind of went away for a bit. Then they came back again, so we're still going to call it a dynasty. They would tell you, no.
So then that means the Patriots were never a dynasty.
Again, in the way we describe it in modern, this generation of sports, yes. They call it a dynasty, but technically a true sports championship dynasty has to be at least three consecutive titles.
Yeah, I
that's
don't
my
know.
Rule.
And we've for two decades, not two decades now, obviously, but we've called what New England did with Brady and Belichick a dynasty. They never won three championships
in
a row.
As I could, I told you, they called it that. It doesn't make it correct. We call things all the time that are incorrect. That is not correct. It's not a dynasty. Technically not a dynasty. It's a great era. It's their time. I don't know how else you'd want to describe it.
It's a great era.
It's a great era.
How else do you want to put it?
There's look, it's the reality of the definition of dynasty. It's consecutive.
That Belichick and Brady thing, yeah, that was a nice era.
Hell of a run.
That's a nice run they had.
It was a good run.
Put it on a T-shirt.
But that's what it is. It's true. Did they win consecutive championships three in a row? No, they did not.
We had a good run.
So they had a good run. They won a bunch in a bunch of years. The Spurs were not a dynasty. Not technically. Now, they'll call it a dynasty, but they weren't. Because if they were a dynasty, they would have never lost a championship. But they did. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't like your dynastic rules. I don't like it.
All right, we'll have to go over this then.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.